Whether you're looking for answers to specific life questions or seeking to become the best version of you possible, welcome to the Mental Breakdown and Psych Reg podcast, where we offer insight, information, and strategies based upon research and years of practice as clinical psychologists. So sit back, have a listen, and get connected with our hosts, Dr. Bernie Wilkinson and Dr. Richard Marshall. Welcome back, Richard. We're going to talk a little bit about social media again today, but this is from a TED Talk called Connected But Alone.
This is a different challenge.
Yeah. We've talked about this a little bit before, whether or not social media and some technology is making us closer together or actually pulling us farther apart and interpersonal skills in the age of social media. But this is from a TED Talk.
Right. The challenge for me is listening to a TED Talk and taking notes on it. It's much more complicated than just reading an article or a manuscript or a blog post. Because you have to listen through it and pick out the good points and everything. I was interested in this particular TED Talk because it was done by a woman by the name of Shelley Turkle.
Right.
And she had written a book years ago, back in the 90s, when devices first came out. And now she's revisiting this issue about 15 years later. I think her first TED Talk was in 1996, and this was about 2012. Because when she did her first one, her daughter was 5 years old. Now her daughter's 20 years old. And she talks about the changes that have occurred in our devices and changes that have occurred to us as a result of using these devices over this 15-year period. She's a psychologist by training, but has made a career talking about how digital devices are changing us.
And it's fascinating because we think that it does one thing, but then the data support and suggests something quite different.
And that's like the piece we did earlier in the week about the different perceptions of adults and youth when it comes to these devices. And what I found, what I particularly appreciated about this article is that I believe that that our penchant for being connected all the time is not always a good thing. But it's hard to articulate exactly what it's doing. You know, why don't I want... When I talk to my family members about being connected all the time, they see absolutely nothing wrong with it. And it's hard for me... They say, well, everybody does this. Okay, that's usually the typical response is everybody does this. And they're right, everybody does. But I have a hard time finding the words to explain to them why I don't like it.
This helps.
This helps. Yeah. She puts into words and she discusses the issues involved in how technology, particularly the little device, the phone.
The phone,
How that's changing us and changing individuals and changing how we relate to each other.
Well, there's several specific points, that we pulled from this.
I extracted, I think, six major points. And the first one was that these digital devices, these little devices that we use, are psychologically powerful. And they are. They are compelling.
Because when we, all we have to do is hear the bling or the little tweet tweet or whatever, and it just, it all of our attention and drive is to look to see what that was.
What is that? You know, what, who's approaching us?
Who's who messaged who? And it, that used to be the walk-up, you know.
Somebody had to physically... Or a telephone had to ring, and you had no way of knowing who it was.
And I think that that's... I think that that is an important connection to make, too, is that, you know, again, back in the 80s and 90s, that was, it was the telephone ring. You know, when your phone rang at home, there was a dash for the phone to see who could answer it first, because, you know, if it was for me, I would have answered if it, you know. So, and now then, it's a constant notification that comes across, and, you know, the drive is there to figure out who it is and how we're going to respond.
That's right, because in the days of telephones, even when you had caller ID or you could store messages, there was this... Calls came in one at a time. You could decide what you wanted to do about it. And if somebody was calling you, it was typically either they were checking to see if you were okay, mm-hmm. or there was some specific question that they had.
Right.
Now we're getting pinged or dinged or whatever mm-hmm. multiple times from multiple sources.
Right.
Okay. And what she's saying is these little devices that are psychologically powerful are changing what we do.
Right.
And they're changing who we are.
Yeah.
And that's what concerns me as a parent, as a partner. That's what concerns me. Is there change? They are changing what we do and who we are.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
The second point she makes is that they're, that the devices are taking us places where we may not want to go.
Right.
They're changing us in ways that may not be good for anybody.
Right.
And she mentions in particular that people now will sit in meetings mm-hmm. and they'll be texting during a meeting, or students will text during class.
Right.
And the one that she brings up that's most telling is that people will text even when they're in church or at a funeral.
Right.
And she says one of the ways this changes it, let's take the funeral as an example. What she says about texting during board meetings or any kind of meeting or classes, you're taking, you want to be there.
Mm-hmm.
You want to be in the class or you want to be in the meeting, but you only want the information that you want out of
right.
that meeting.
Right.
Okay. So you're not there to listen to everybody.
Right.
You're only there to get what you want, to extract what you
right.
want out of that. And she said, but when it comes to a funeral, one of the things that happens when you go to a funeral is that you think about your own mortality, or
mm-hmm.
you think about the mortality of people close to you. And so there is this philosophical change, or this
mm-hmm.
personal change that you should undergo because you're attending the funeral. You know,
right.
you think about your own life and you get it in perspective. But if you're texting during the funeral, you're
yeah.
missing that piece.
Right.
You're not thinking about your own life or the life, the lives of others.
Yeah.
And so it changes us. That's what she means when it changes us in significant ways.
Well, and that it takes us places that we don't want or need to be, because
right.
it's removing us from the situation that we're
right.
in, so
mm-hmm.
we're not fully experiencing it in all the different ways that we
that's right.
should be experiencing
so
it.
So a funeral should have, typically would have this effect,
right.
and you're missing that because you're texting
right.
or you want to be someplace
well,
else.
Well, I think about even in the board meeting, we're there
mm-hmm.
to just get the information that we want. However, if you're distracted, you don't necessarily know when the information that you want is being presented.
That's
and
right.
So
you're missing, you're
right.
constantly missing things.
Absolutely.
And then right about in the middle of the talk, she says, well, why does any of this matter?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And that's the other important thing that I struggle with as I try to explain
right.
this to others. Why does this matter? What she says is this. She said, we want to be with each other. Like, I want to talk to you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But I want to be with others at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, that's very difficult, maybe impossible to manage.
Right.
Okay. Because if I'm with you, I should be with you.
Right.
But if I also want to be with others.
Mm-hmm.
And she talks about this desire to be connected.
Mm-hmm.
We all want to be connected to
mm-hmm.
each other. And that's why I approach you personally. Okay.
Right.
But I also want to be connected with everybody else. And what she's saying is, the only way you can manage this is with your device.
Right.
You can't manage multiple conversations at the same time. We've
mm-hmm.
all tried to do that
mm-hmm.
at cocktail parties.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm talking to you and I'm listening to somebody else.
Right.
The brain doesn't work that way.
Right.
And so you need to have, you can only do that with a device.
Right.
So if you want to have multiple interactions,
mm-hmm.
you have to have the device.
Right.
Okay. So it's, but it changes the nature of our interactions.
Right.
And it changes it in two ways. One is you're really not connecting with others,
mm-hmm.
which is what you really want.
Right.
Okay. And the other thing is that it's changing the way you think about yourself.
Right.
Okay. What you're after is control, but you need the device to have the control.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. And we think that, and we think about the nature of these different relationships. And you know, what I think about with social media also is that a lot of times we have these notifications and they're not necessarily directly to us. They're just something that we're following or something
right.
that we're monitoring. And so it takes us away from it, but then it's just a distraction. And so
right.
we try to come back, and then the next one is just a distraction. But we're so back and forth. We ping pong
right.
back and forth
mm-hmm.
between the immediate and the virtual.
And what we seek, and this is a, I think, part of the challenge of this. what we want is intimacy.
Right.
We all seek some type of intimate relationships, and you simply can't have them. We want to be connected, mm-hmm. but we're afraid of intimacy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and that's what she's saying. That what these phones allow us to do is they allow us to stay connected to all these different things that are going on, because either we're afraid of it. Not only are we afraid of intimacy, but you can't have intimacy when you're on the device.
Right.
So it gives you control, and you can stay connected to everybody, but it denies you
right.
having a true intimate relationship with somebody else.
Right.
And when she interviews people, they say to her, you know, people will walk into a workplace.
Mm-hmm.
20 years ago, you walked into a workplace, say on a college football
right.
started this weekend, right? So
yeah.
you go to work and you talk about all the games with her. You don't do that anymore
mm-hmm.
because everybody's on email and mm-hmm. texting and doing other things. People don't have colleagues at work anymore.
Right.
Because everybody's on devices. Everybody's in their own little private little
right.
world, but connected to everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
So the irony is, you don't have those personal interactions, the conversations, what
mm-hmm.
she calls conversations, that we once had. We're connected,
mm-hmm.
but we're not having conversations.
Exactly.
We've sacrificed one for the other.
Yeah.
She mentions the story of one 18-year-old boy who said, someday, but not right now, someday I'd like to learn how to have a conversation, because
mm-hmm.
I've heard that that's important to be able to, because he said,
yeah.
I don't know how to converse.
Yeah.
But someday I'd like to learn how to converse. He's 18
mm-hmm.
years old.
Right.
Skill he should have already mastered.
Right.
But he never did.
Right.
Because of the phone. So,
yeah. And we've talked about that before, that
mm-hmm.
that the chat.
Right.
You know,
mm-hmm.
vernacular.
Right.
Doesn't work and doesn't relate interpersonally.
Right.
When you're direct, you know, face
right.
to face. And so a lot of people who are raised in that type of mode of communication through
right.
virtual means and,
mm-hmm.
and messaging, they just don't know how to, they don't gain those skills because they don't practice them.
That's right.
Yeah.
And that was one of the points that she makes, is that young people, you know, it's like any other developmental skill.
Mm-hmm.
Young people don't have the opportunity to learn how to have a conversation,
mm-hmm.
a personal
right.
person-to-person conversation. The other point, one of the last points she makes is we expect more from technology and less from each other.
Right.
We expect the technology to provide us with conversation, with relationships, with
mm-hmm.
You know, staying, and it can't do that. And she calls it the illusion of companionship.
Right.
You know, I'm connected to all these people. I see this with my daughter, my youngest daughter. I don't see it with the older kids, but I see it with my youngest daughter. She has the illusion of companionship,
mm-hmm.
but she's home alone.
Right.
But because she's connected, she's,
yeah.
I'm part of it.
Yeah.
And do you know the term SIPs?
No.
I hadn't heard that either.
I had not heard of it.
She said Stephen Colbert
yeah.
asked her a question. SIPs are these little, like Twitter
mm-hmm.
or shorthand texting,
right.
like an emoji with some letters,
mm-hmm.
okay, like LOL and all that.
Yeah.
He refers to those as a SIP. And so you have a series of SIPs
mm-hmm.
going through a text conversation. And his question to her was, isn't that a conversation? Doesn't that add up
mm-hmm.
to a conversation? And no, it doesn't. Because
right.
when you do it digitally, you're always cleaning it up.
Right.
You're not really... she says, conversations are messy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to listen carefully.
Right.
You have to focus. You don't get to edit as you're talking.
Right.
Whereas when you're texting, you get to clean it up. So it's a little bit like Facebook. She said she compared texting. She didn't compare it to Facebook, but you know how people sanitize their lives?
Right.
They create this
mm-hmm.
image of themselves. You can't do that in conversation because you make mistakes.
Yeah.
And there's this visual as well as verbal.
Right.
You know, I looked at your facial expression
mm-hmm.
and saw something. So she said conversations are messy. Texting isn't.
Right.
You have total control in texting. You can clean it up.
Yeah. And I think what I think is I think that kind of depends. You know, there are certainly, I think part of those SIPs is that it's faster. You know, instead of typing
right.
B right back, you can
mm-hmm.
say BRB. And in that sense, it is faster, and you do get some of that messiness because, you know, when people are texting and they want to be fast
mm-hmm.
and they want to respond quickly to each other,
as they often do,
right.
You know, you do get some of that messiness, especially with, you know, I think about autocorrect. You know,
we have
those autocorrect errors mm-hmm. so often that, you know, there are certainly times when we're not being too cleaned up in those interactions.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
it depends.
And, right. And so what the point that she makes here is that these little snippets mm-hmm. are not the same as conversations.
Right.
Okay. And then she said that, but it gives us this control mm-hmm. over how we present ourselves to others and how we can manage all these connections. And she said that phones provide three fantasies. Mm-hmm. Okay. And I like that she calls them fantasies. She says, one, we can put our attention where we want it.
Right.
I don't have to stop what I'm doing and listen to the person I'm with. I can put my attention wherever I want.
Right.
The second thing is we will always be heard.
Yeah.
When in a text, somebody's always reading it. So we know.
Right.
But if you're having a conversation, first of all, you have to be with somebody
mm-hmm.
and they have to be paying attention to you. Mm-hmm. And if they're not, you have to do something else.
Right. Where
in texting, you don't. You throw it out there and you know somebody's receiving it.
Right.
So,
right.
But it's the illusion of being heard. And the last one is we're never alone.
Right.
And this is the main point that she makes, that mm-hmm. as long as I have my device, I'm never alone.
And I think that is what was important that we learned from the article that we reviewed yesterday mm-hmm. with Lady Gaga.
That's right.
Her foundation, that, you know, you are never alone. There's mm-hmm. always someone there that you can communicate with, that you can interact with when you need some help or support. You don't have to worry about the mood that your parents are in. You don't have to worry about, mm-hmm. you know, as you said, you know, who you're there with physically.
Mm-hmm.
Virtually, there's always someone there.
As long as you have your phone.
Right.
Okay. You know I'm not a...
Correct. You didn't have to finish
I'm
the
not
sentence.
Correct. Okay. But it even happens to me.
Mm-hmm.
When I get in my car to drive to Tampa, for mm-hmm. example, and I'm alone,
mm-hmm.
I'm a little bit uneasy.
Yeah.
And what do? You reach for your device
mm-hmm.
to get connected with somebody.
Who do you connect with? Because you don't call me.
No, but doesn't that happen to you?
Yeah.
When you're being alone makes us uneasy.
Right.
Okay. That's one of the points that she makes. But as long as you, and so you reach for your device,
right.
You don't reach out to other people. You reach for your device. So you have this illusion. Because she said, being alone makes you uneasy.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're uneasy, it motivates you to do something about it.
Right.
Well, now, instead of searching out other people, mm-hmm. you just pick up your device. Okay. And she said, it's denying us the opportunity for solitude.
Right.
And she said, it not only affects the way you interact with other people, but it affects how you develop. Because she said, when you think about when you're alone, truly alone in solitude, you think about yourself and you redefine.
Right.
But if you're constantly connected, you never take those opportunities.
Right.
And what she believes is it's not only affecting your interpersonal relationships, it's affecting you're losing the ability to think about your own life.
Right. Yeah, I really like that part because we've talked about it before that. You have to be healthy. You have to spend some time alone.
That's right.
The quiet, the unplugged.
Right.
The we did the podcast some time ago about nature bathing in the forest.
Forest bathing.
Right. Mm-hmm. Where you just spend some time alone, disconnected with yourself,
right.
just to think.
And one of the things that she advocates in this TED Talk is we have to teach our children.
Right.
How to be alone.
Yeah.
That it's okay to put the device down
mm-hmm.
because you have to learn how to be alone and what alone does for you. And so as many people do now, she calls for phone-free zones.
Right.
Okay. She said there have to be times when you put your device mm-hmm. aside and you're just by yourself. And there have to be times when you say, we're not going to use our devices, you know, whether it's at the dinner table or the breakfast table or whatever. We're just going to focus on each other.
Right.
And I think that's the message that we always say, well, that's the message we have to give our children, mm-hmm. is that there are times when you have to put your phone down and just be with your children.
Right.
And I would say that to partners as well. Mm-hmm. I hate when I go into restaurants and I see a couple mm-hmm. going out to dinner and each is on a phone, yeah. each is on a cell phone. Why are you together? So it's not that there's anything wrong with texting,
right?
But I think we need to reintroduce these ideas of personal, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Direct, and also the advantages of solitude.
Absolutely.
Because the phone keeps you connected,
yeah.
but you're giving up all these other things.
Right.
So it's a complicated topic, but the bottom line is, don't give up
right.
the conversation. Don't yeah. give up real relationships.
Yeah.
What's an avatar?
An avatar is a digital representation of you or somebody.
Of myself, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So in Facebook, I create an avatar.
You can. Mm-hmm.
It's not really me. It's the ideal me.
Well, usually it's an actual character. So it would be an image. Or
so like I could have Superman as my avatar.
Sure, yeah.
If I wanted to.
Yeah.
It's not me, but it's my conception of me.
Right.
Because she talks about defining yourself as an avatar mm-hmm. rather than the real person you are.
Right.
And then in the last part, she talks about robots going into nursing homes mm-hmm. to provide empathy mm-hmm. for mm-hmm. the elderly.
Right.
And she said that's pretend empathy.
Right.
But that we're asking the machines to do what
right.
we're not doing
what we
for
should
each
be doing.
Other.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she said because a machine has no concept of its own mortality.
Yeah.
So it's not real empathy.
Right. Yeah.
But we use avatars to define ourselves and robots to do what we're not doing
right.
anymore.
Right. Yeah.
And she said that's sending us, we're headed in some bad
and strange,
directions.
That's right. We're heading into some sci-fi movies that I've seen.
Right. I'm not sure that I want my family to hire a robot in my waning days.
It's
better
late.
Than nothing.
It's too late. We've already
you already signed up.
It's already there.
They already put a down payment on
that's
one.
That's right.
Okay.
His name is Hal. So just
oh,
be ready.
That was before your time. Did you ever see that movie?
Sure. Yeah.
You have?
It's based upon IBM. It was the letters just before IBM.
You have seen it.
Yeah, see? So, all
okay.
right. That's it for today. The link to this TED Talk is in the show notes, so if you mm-hmm. want to check it out, it's a great talk. It's about 20 minutes long or so.
Right.
But I do encourage you to check it out. It's
yeah, she
talk,
knows.
So.
She's pretty good at this. She's
yeah.
pretty well informed and doesn't shove it down your throat,
yeah.
but gives you some things to think about.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So, all right. Until next time, stay happy, stay healthy, and forget to be afraid.